All right, the Bucks are off the clock. The pick is in. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here for the Ira Kaufman podcast. He's the king of Newport Richie, the beast of Big Storm Beer, the mayor of Bill Curry Ford. He is Mr. Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan. Lee DeKemper is here. And Ira, it is draft night. It is after midnight. You are not taking your nap. You took your Geritol. How are you, buddy?
You know, Steve, we're talking, the three of us, the three amigos. The draft ended just moments ago. And Lee, I think the word of the evening is smooth. Not only for the NFL, the way this draft was conducted, it couldn't have been any better in terms of lack of glitches. And it was great entertainment. But Lee, more importantly, from a local standpoint, smooth. Buck fans overwhelmingly in the Joe Bucks fan poll wanted an offensive lineman. They wanted a tackle. Three were gone. The Bucks weren't going to take any chances. And Lee, my instincts, and I think yours as well, tell me several teams were trying to move up to 13 to take this kid. And Lynch, as is his custom, and I can't believe how good he is with his lack of relative experience as an executive. I think the guy's fantastic. He played off one team against the other and took the best offer he could get and moved back and got the guy the Niners wanted anyway, because if they wanted the tackle, they could have taken him. And the Bucks are happy and the 49ers are happy. And it was a heck of a night for the National Football League, Lee.
Well, I don't think you need to speculate on it, Ira. Unless Light's trying to pull a wool over people's eyes, he claimed there were multiple teams trying to get that pick from Lynch. And this has been going on for a couple of days, he said, that people were talking to Lynch. And I guess what it looks like, that Miami was trying to get up. Now, he didn't specify Miami. He said teams. And the next offensive lineman off the board was Miami. And Miami's got a lot of ammo to go up and down. So I suspect that Miami was after that pick. And I guess Light figured, if I don't do something here, if I don't pull out a fastball, this guy's gone. Now, I can tell you that I was freaking out just before that trade, because I'm thinking the Bucks are going to get either C.D. Lamb or Javon Kinlaw. And I was literally freaking out, like, oh, my God, I couldn't even dream my wildest dreams that they had a chance for C.D. Lamb. I'm like, holy smokes, you put this guy on the freaking field, it's all over with, man. With what the Bucks have already, it's all over with. So I'm happy with the Burbs, I'm not against the Burbs, but I was drooling at the thought of C.D. Lamb on this field with the Bucks offense. Holy cow. And I was good with Kinlaw too. I like Kinlaw. But C.D. Lamb, I thought, was the best wide receiver in the draft. I really did. I've never fathomed they would have a prayer to get him. So I didn't even think about that. It never crossed my mind. And there he is on the board when the Bucks trade up. Like, holy smokes.
Steve, I didn't like the idea of the Bucks going from 14 to 9 and maybe having to give up a third rounder at the minimum. I don't think you can make that move for a fourth rounder. So, Steve, I didn't like that draft capital, but to move up one and give up a fourth when he's the last guy standing, I can't complain. You know, the guy he's an athletic freak, Steve. There's no question about it. They got a lot of faith in their coaching staff to bring out the best in guys, and he's going to play in the right tackle. And as Lee has been talking about for quite a while, Steve, you could see him on the left side in 2021 without stretching your credulity.
Well, I have got a couple of angles here that I think are important that need your sage wisdom, and I think run a little counter, or at least make you think that maybe Jason Light isn't being forthright. But first, I want to let Bucks fans know they can celebrate by buying a new car at Bill Curry Ford. 0% financing offers. Ford is making the first three payments for you. Other three payments will be deferred. Bill Curry Ford has an even greater option to give you no payments through 2020. Incredible stuff, as always, at Bill Curry Ford. Get to their website now, BillCurryFord.com. You can talk to draft guru general manager Sean Sullivan personally, by phone, email him, pop in at the beautiful dealership where there's plenty of room for social distancing, and get a car, or get some answers, and get treated right, because they're a family-owned dealership with a guy, Sean Sullivan, we know personally. and he cares about everybody who walks in that door. So that is where you got to go. Bill Curry Ford presents all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. Ira drives a 2020 Ford Escape, cherry red, all the fixins. Lee's got a F-150, beautiful brand new truck. I'm driving a used car. I don't know what's going on here, but I got it at Bill Curry Ford, and I like it very much. Just turned 50,000 miles. And you know what? Bill Curry Ford is the way to go. Now, I want to bring this up, Ira. Jason Light, it's a game of poker. I don't believe anything the guy's saying. That's where I'm at right now. You know, all these people wanted to trade up to John Lynch. This is interesting because Jason Light said the tackle run, this is a quote, the tackle run was later than we thought.
Yeah.
So if the tackle run was later than you thought, then that means you would have thought you had to trade up farther to get Wirfs. So that's kind of, it makes a strange wrinkle there a little bit. And we don't know what else the Bucks were trying to do or thinking to do. And of course, if you ask Light, he's going to say, well, this was our target all along. But I don't know. Something doesn't add up there, Ira.
Steve, it's obvious. Lee, they were not going to leave the first round without one of those four offensive tackles. By hook or crook, they were going to get one. And it took a crook because, they had to use draft capital to move up one spot. Lee, no matter what anybody says, it's a position pick. It's a pick for position. You know, nobody's going to tell me anything different. Now, Lee, that doesn't mean it was a reach because these four guys, by consensus, were the best of the bunch, and it was a deep bunch. And the Bucks, had a need for right tackle. But, Lee, if they would have sat there at 14, that kid Judy from Alabama was there. Best route runner maybe as a prospect in 10 years. Kinlaw could have been there. If a team's trading up to 13, let him take a tackle, and you got Kinlaw. There were other guys that were there, Lee, but it's a case where they went in and said, we have to have one of these four guys, and, we'll never know. Lee, we're never going to know how they ranked Wirfs among the four. We're never going to.
We might find out in a couple of years. We have ways, Ira. We have ways.
But Light suggested in his Zoom conference call that they didn't necessarily have him fourth, and he went fourth. Other teams could have taken him. They chose to go in another direction at the tackle spot.
To Steve's point, what it's starting to smell like to me is they didn't expect Wirfs to be there. And if I'm going to, I'm not saying Steve's wrong, if I'm going to look at it from Steve's point of view, perhaps Light said, Bucks in general, Light, Arians, whomever, that if they were going to trade up to get a tackle, they would only trade so much, sort of like you're at the poker table, and you have your limit. You're not going to put anything more than $10 in the pot per hand, and that was your limit. Well, maybe White had a limit that he set himself or Arian, whomever, and if they had to trade up to get a tackle, they were only going to give up X amount of rands, and maybe that fourth round pick was their limit.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Lee, and it goes to Steve's point that maybe if there was a run early, the Bucks would have sat it out and taken Kinlaw or Chasen.
Or traded back and got some of these other tackles.
That's right, or traded back, Steve. So that's an excellent point by Lee. They did not want to give up maybe a pick that was higher than a fourth rounder.
Yeah, it's just one of those things we won't know for sure. However, in this case, Ira, when you talk to John Lynch later this year, which you will, you'll get your answer if you ask for it, and you know it.
So, I've already asked.
You called him at his war room there?
I already sent him a text. Were there other teams that wanted to move to 13 to take Wirfs? I've already sent the text.
Interesting.
And what was our reply?
I'm waiting, gentlemen. I'm waiting.
Okay. You see his setup? He put a picture up of his setup. It was pretty sweet. It is awesome.
Pretty sweet.
Did you see Kingsbury's setup?
Yes.
And did you compare that to the Bengals coach, Zach Taylor? Zach Taylor looked like somebody's renting out a basement room at University of Cincinnati. That's what it looked like. And then you had Kingsbury look like he was in a mogul's mansion.
Lynch plays the draft very well, gentlemen. He's very good at it. He's very good at it.
Ira, when Lynch gives you an answer, just a little tip. Write it up two paragraphs, and we'll put it on the website, okay?
No, I love to break it on our podcast.
No more
break
of that.
It on the podcast.
In the words, you don't have to go on Russo's show and whine about how you dragged your feet, that you read it instead of writing it.
In the words of a great sage, never mind that. All right, Ira. Now look, this is another interesting point with Tristan Wirfs, the new tackle for the Bucks. Now you mentioned he could probably play left tackle. Well, he primarily played right tackle at Iowa. And many gurus, including Bill Polian, think that may not even be suited for tackle, that he'd probably be okay, but he looks more like an all-pro guard. So, I mean, I'm not quibbling about the pick, but I don't necessarily think that he's the left tackle of the future, especially if that future is next year. I don't know.
That's not why they took him, because they took him because he was the last man standing. That's number one. They might not have taken him second among the tackles. They might not have taken him third among the tackles. You know, the focus is on 2020 for this franchise, for Buck Nation. We all know that. And he's going to play right tackle. He's not going to play left tackle for 2020. And he's not going to play right guard. And I really haven't heard too many other people. Yeah, I haven't heard too many other people suggest that.
Specifically, what Polian said was he doesn't have a lot of film on speed rushers.
Okay.
And, you know, Chase Young would have been that guy, but Iowa never played, just the way the schedule worked out, Iowa didn't play Ohio State while he was a right tackle. So there really isn't much film of him against a speed rusher. And Polian said specifically if he has trouble with a speed rusher, that's a chronic problem. You either can or you can't. So they said if that's the case... Polian said, if that's the case, and this is Polian talking, if that's the case, so what? You just move him to left guard, you got a guard for the next 10 years.
Well, I will counter with this, gentleman. If you put him at right tackle and you line up Gronkowski on the strong side and on the right side, all of a sudden you may see some huge holes for some running back. And by the way, I still claim they're going to draft a running back in the second round. And Lee, I think you agree with me. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is off the board, Mr. DeKemper. Off the board.
Now, Ira, speaking of the draft, unfortunately, we cannot get a draft beer at Big Storm Brewery, at the Odessa Tap Room, or the Clearwater Tap Room, because they're not open, just like every other bar. However, you can buy Big Storm beer, Florida's best craft beer, brewed in Clearwater, all over the state, in other states as well, and you can find it at BigStormBrewery.com. They are all about the beer, but they're also all about the hand sanitizer. It's one hell of a story that went national. Big Storm Brewery converting part of their brewery to produce medical-grade hand sanitizer. You can actually buy it now online. They'll ship it to you. I already ordered mine, Ira. It's coming in the mail. And you can pick it up at the brewery as well. Now, they delivered you some beer, Mr. Sage, to your Newport Richey estate, the Key Lime Shandy and the Bromosa. The Key Lime Shandy and the
Tropic Pressure.
Did you enjoy the Tropic Pressure tonight, or what did you do?
Well, that's the second time I've had Tropic Pressure, and my first time in the Shandy department, gentlemen. And both absolutely delicious. And may I say, Steve, I got to thank you for setting up the delivery. You said tip was included, but I gave the man a nice gratuity. I reached into my pocket for a quarter, DeKemper. I can find these coins. The Reuben is out of this world. It's out of this world, Lee. You got to go down there and try a Reuben. I don't know if you're into Reubens, but it's a heck of a sandwich. My wife had the Turkey Club, also outstanding. Tater tots. Cosmo liked the tots. He had a couple, and that's caused the problem all over the carpet. But that's a whole other subject. But I got to tell you. Not only the brewery, but their kitchen's turning out some wonderful stuff over there, Steve.
Unfortunately, our Big Storm draft party couldn't happen this year the way we had planned. But next year, and of course, assuming everything gets back to normal, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports will be at the Big Storm Breweries for Bucks Road Games, hanging out with fans and doing his thing. Maybe you won't be glad-handing as much. I don't know. You might master the elbow bump or the I don't know what you'll do.
Well, I'm not going in there with gloves, Steve. No gloves and no mask. I'm going in there for a meet and greet. Whatever Governor DeSantis tells me I can do, Lee, that's what I'm going to do. You know, every day a new beach will open in Florida. Go, go, go.
All right. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, as always. All right. Now, Ira, this pick here, your sage wisdom, does this pick happen if Jameis Winston is still the quarterback or if Tom Brady is not the quarterback?
I think it does. I mean, it's a glaring hole. It's a glaring hole. You know, Dotson's gone. They thought they could do better. You know, his best days are behind him. It's glaring. I think if Winston was back, right tackle's still a huge need. It's a yawning need along with running back. Those are the two obvious things that jump out at you. And quarterback. So they solved the quarterback issue. Sorry about that, Lee. You may not agree. I don't think it was Tom Brady's presence that prompted them to get a right tackle.
And Lee mentioned some of the coaches. Bill Belichick, he's sitting there alone with like three old-looking laptops, not even a drink of water. And it looked like he had a bottle of vitamin C on the table, and he's just sitting there, strange.
I think he was in Cape Cod.
And Sean Payton is sitting there on the couch. He's got an empty giant bag of Twizzlers and a Coke. Yeah, you know, this is very interesting.
And Arians was on his porch, right? He was on his patio, I thought.
It looked like he was on the patio, like, yeah. And you could tell in the reflection, it was weird because in the reflection, I study this stuff. I did some screenshots in case we saw something interesting. You could see a guy filming Arians, and it didn't look like Buccaneers.com. It looked like some old guy with a phone and then another guy in his house. I don't know what was going on there.
Sure that wasn't Monty Kiffin? No.
I don't know.
I was going to comment on Ira's comment about the offensive line and if Winston was here or not.
Right.
I'm not as convinced. I'm not saying they wouldn't get a left tackle. I'm not convinced they'd go out and get one in the first round. The reason why I say that, I got to talking to someone earlier this week. And this guy was, going on and about how horrible the offense. You know the shtick. And I finally asked this guy. I said the Bucs led the NFL in passing last year with a quarterback half the Bucs fans couldn't wait to get rid of. How lousy was that offensive line? Couldn't have been that lousy.
Well, Wirfs is there to open holes in the run game. Lee, I think that's his prime responsibility. I really do.
Well, he is supposedly a very good pass blocker. But that's what I was getting at. It's like, people are saying, oh, my God, it was so horrible. I'm like, well, wait a minute here. You had a quarterback you hated, claimed he couldn't throw the ball, yet he led the league in passing with this horrible offensive line. I said, I don't know too many teams that lead the league in passing if the offensive line is that much of a sieve. I mean, usually the quarterback's running for his life. And he kind of thought, he goes, you got a point there. And I said, no, I'm not saying the offense, and I've always said this. I don't think the offensive line is the 1970s Raiders, but it sure as hell is the 2014 Bucks.
You know, Steve, I asked Arians whether he had a passing thought, take that any way you want it, about taking a wide receiver, sticking at 14 and taking a receiver.
I'm laughing at your adverb.
You know, he gave a good answer. Steve, he gave a good answer, and his answer was, it's such a deep wide receiver class, as opposed maybe to the offensive tackle class in terms of depth, not quality, that he said you can pick up a guy that's going to be a number two, or at the very least your number three receiver in later rounds. Guys, it sounds like the Bucks are thinking that way in some of the later rounds. I wouldn't be surprised if they took a wide receiver. Maybe in round three. I wouldn't be shocked.
That's smart, Ira, because depending who you talk to, this could be a historically deep wide receiver class. Now, yes. Guys that are going to be going in the third round that may have been first round in some years, I think you can get some dynamite talent cheap, value. I've sort of held out hope this speedster from Penn State, K.J. Hamler, who's like a speed demon, he looked like a third round target to me, and the guy is, he's like a bigger version of Scotty Miller. 4'3", 40, he's quick as can be.
Hey, Steve, we got to give our man Sean Sullivan, GM of Bill Curry Ford, we got to give him his props. We've been pimping him as a draft guru, and who was his man? Ruggs. And the next thing you know, Ruggs is off the board darn high. You got to give Sean his props on that.
I believe he was the first wide receiver to go, and that was to the Raiders. Now, Ira, you mentioned that regarding the Buccaneers and taking a wide receiver. We've talked about this before, but have to note that now, after the Gronkowski trade and the trade tonight, that the Bucs no longer have a fourth round pick. So they've lost some ammunition there for trading up. They've lost a chance at getting a good third round quality receiver in the fourth round kind of thing.
I think there's a very, very good chance, Lee. I'll say it right here, right now. There's a very good chance the Bucs are going to end up with a fourth round pick. They will maneuver, and one of the bargaining chips is somebody that you guys had a scoop on today, Mr. O.J. Howard.
Yeah, let me address that real quickly. We wrote today that O.J. Howard wants out. Doesn't mean he's throwing a temper tantrum, demanding a trade, just that he's over it and would like to move on from the Buccaneers. Now, this is not a new development since Gronkowski. I was told from multiple sources, so we put that out there. I know it's spot on. Mike Florio wrote it up maybe 45 minutes after he published it. He put a little update saying a source close to Howard says he doesn't want to move on. Now, I was in touch with Florio, and just for the haters out there who are like, see, Joe Bucs fan, you were wrong, that is not what Mike Florio was saying whatsoever. He was just putting an update. He talked to somebody close to the situation who says that's not the case. Now, I'll throw it out there hypothetically, as sometimes that's an agent who calls up, and if you want to keep a good relationship with the agent, you put it out there that, hey, this, somebody close to the situation says that's not the case. Okay, so you just did an agent a favor and you put it out there and balanced your report. So we stand behind it, and that's that.
There's no question, Lee, that an agent saying he's not in any hurry to leave Tampa in no way pours any dirt on your report, Lee. Zero. I'll give you another example. And Arian said it tonight. I mean, this is not last week. He said it tonight. Somebody said, well, how's the, because he hasn't talked about Gronkowski yet. And they said, well, how's the arrival of Gronkowski affect O.J. Howard's status? Oh, absolutely no effect. We got three good tight ends. They all have different roles. We might use a three tight end alignment. Three tight end alignment? Gentlemen, what's going on here?
For a guy that doesn't need tight ends.
You're not going to see a three tight end alignment. So, look, they're not going to just say we're trading O.J. Howard. Why should they diminish any leverage they have? I don't think they have a lot of leverage, Steve. I think it's almost like we'll take what we can get for O.J. Howard. I would be shocked if Howard's on the roster coming out of training camp.
Ibra, since we last did a podcast, and this is the elephant in the room about O.J. Howard, all these guys are saying, oh, we're not trying to trade him. And that report came out from ESPN that the Bucs had worked out a deal with the Redskins, O.J. Howard for Trent Williams, and it fell through at the last moment. And I didn't hear anyone, whether it's Arians, Light, none of them said, I guess Schefter texted Light today, and Light's like, why would I want to trade? Well, notice there was no denial that trade was in the works.
That's right. That would have been one hell of a trade, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and you know what? They get Trent Williams. Is Tristan Wirfs on the roster? I don't know.
No, of course not.
I don't know. Probably not.
All right, so Ira, we will leave it at that. O.J. Howard, if the Bucks may trade him in August, who knows? I mean, it doesn't mean anything other than we stand by our report, and obviously there have been a million O.J. Howard trade rumors, and the Bucks never quash any of them. They don't say it's a bunch of baloney. They don't text you or me or Lee and say, what the hell are you talking about? That's the bottom line.
Oh, Steve, one more thing. I don't want to hear any nonsense about we're going to break in Wirfs, slowly, any kind of hinting that he may not start game one.
Jason Light already said that he'll start at right tackle.
Okay, he better be starting at right tackle when they go to Vegas week one. There you go. That's just speculation.
All right, Ira, quick take from you on the division. Carolina, number 7 overall pick. Derek Brown falls to them. Monster defensive tackle out of Auburn. The Falcons take A.J. Terrell, cornerback out of Clemson. And the Saints, in classic Sean Payton fashion, they take the number 1 center, a monster out of Michigan who also plays guard. Keep in mind the Saints drafted a center last year, and many think they have arguably the best offensive line in football. Cesar Ruiz out of Michigan. What do you think?
Ruiz, excellent prospect, very versatile. I wouldn't be shocked to see him play guard for the Saints. And what's it all about? Very similar to Tampa. It's all about 2020 and Drew Brees, which is probably going to be his last season. And what's the one thing Peyton always comes back to? Interior protection. They've always had great guards, New Orleans. Always. Of course, the time the Bucks get one as a free agent, the guy gets hurt and never shows up. But they've always had great guards. And Jarry Evans, just the latest example. And it's all about giving Brees a chance to step up in the pocket. He's a smallish quarterback. That's what it's all about in New Orleans. And so I can't argue with that. Derek Brown, I think, is going to be an outstanding player. They're very thin at defensive tackle. McCoy's gone. They had to get a little tougher at the line of scrimmage, more physical. And Brown fits that bill. I don't like what the Falcons are doing. I mean, Dimitroff, he's very up and down. He's very up and down. A lot of misses for Dimitroff over the years. I mean, a lot. You know, who's that pass rusher, Steve? They had that huge year about three years ago, and now they dumped him. Yeah, Vic Beasley, you know, 15 sacks one year. Now he's gone. A lot of whiffs by Dimitroff. This was a definite position move by the Falcons. They were going to get a corner come hell or high water. And the big two were off the board. You know, they weren't going to walk away without a cornerback. And I think that gets you in trouble more times than not.
All right, Sage. And then sort of the big NFL news of the night was there's a lot of it. But the bigger news, I think, is Jordan Love goes to the Packers, who trade up to get him at number 26. Aaron Rodgers is only 36. Is Aaron Rodgers the next Buccaneers quarterback, Ira?
You know, it kind of reminds me of when they drafted Rodgers. I mean, behind Favre, and you know how Favre reacted to it. But it was obvious that, you know, Favre's not going to go on forever. Let's groom the guy. You know, certainly nobody thinks he's going to challenge Aaron Rodgers, Lee. But from a long-range perspective, and that's what a good general manager does. He takes the long-range view, and the coach tends to take the short-term view. Now, here in Tampa, Lee, and this is a possible problem, the GM and the coach and the owners are all taking the short-term view. That could hurt you down the line, but Lee, when you miss the playoffs 12 years in a row, I really can't fault putting all your chips in.
That's true. That's true. And also, I think they have to be proactive. They have to be short-sighted, because if they don't make the playoffs the next 2 years, you know, it's going to be blown up. It's very simple. Brady's gone. Arian's gone. Light's gone. They're all gone. I mean, this will be completely, completely revamped roster in front office. And you could argue, if Jameis stayed here, they had to make the playoffs this year, or Arian's gone and Light would be gone.
All right, Ira. Now, let me take you to this, Sage. We got the second round tomorrow. And yep. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is off the board to your beloved Chiefs. The first running back to go, Sean Sullivan again with another hit as his top running back in the draft. He nailed the top wide receiver to go in the draft. Edwards-Helaire.
Now, hold on, Steve. I was on this guy pretty early too. I was on Edwards-Helaire.
You were, Ira. Yep. Absolutely. Now he goes to the Super Bowl champs, which is just a mind blower. And here we are, entering the second round. What do you think the Buccaneers do in round two as the fans listen to your podcast leading up to the draft here? Do you think anything weird happens in the second round? Do you think they might entertain Jacob Eason if he's there, the big quarterback, in round two?
Lee, I would not be surprised to see O.J. Howard packaged in some kind of a deal to move up 10 spots at the top of the second round, and try to get maybe the Swift kid out of Georgia, because, Lee, they're looking for a particular type of running back. He's got to be able to catch, and I don't think that's Jonathan Taylor's forte, and probably not even Dobbins' forte. You know, there was the big four in offensive tackles. Well, there's two or three running backs, unless they're willing to wait and draft Cam Akers. I mean, that's a possibility. Lee. But if they really want the Swift kid out of Georgia, and he's sitting there 5 picks into the second round, Lee, they might have to leapfrog again.
I think, Ira, you're thinking like I'm thinking. There's going to be a quick run on running backs.
Yes.
Started with the Chiefs. And if that's the case, well, Cam Akers, you're looking at maybe second round for that guy.
That's right.
And would he be there if the Bucs pick at third? I don't know. I wouldn't bank on it. So yeah, maybe he would be there if they trade back into the third, which I kind of had a hunch that Light might be doing, like Steve said, that they will recoup a fourth-round pick or another pick. Let's put it that way. I got to ask you this, Ira. Gil Brandt, I think the rule of Gil Brandt, nice guy. But you know what? Everybody and their brother, Father Time has no – Father Time's undefeated. And poor Gil Brandt's, what, like 86, 85? He's up there. And I'm starting to think he's losing it because he had his top six running backs and who their NFL comps were, their NFL comparisons. Cam Akers, he said, is Doug Martin. I don't see that at all. Not at all.
I don't either.
And I don't know where, unless it's measurements he's talking about, because, I mean, Akers, from what I could tell, has superior vision for the open field. Doug Martin did not. Akers is quick. Doug Martin was kind of a lumbering guy. He was almost a fullback type, the way his body build was. He wasn't really quick. I'm not saying he was slow, but he wasn't really quick. And I don't recall Martin being much of a pass receiver that Akers certainly is. So I don't get that comparison.
I don't either. But Steve, if the Bucs have a good grade on Akers, he could be a guy that they could sit tight in the middle of the second round, and the odds are he'd still be there. But if they wanted Swift, probably gone. Dobbins, gone. Taylor, gone. Akers could sneak to them in the middle of the second round, but I don't know how they evaluate Akers. I'll tell you one guy who wouldn't mind it is Mr. Derek Brooks. Certainly would not.
Yeah, I think one thing that Gil Brandt does, just listening to him a lot myself, is when he compares guys to professionals, he compares them to the professional when the professional was coming out of college. So if you look at Doug Martin coming out of Boise State, he was a do-it-all guy with the Bucs when he came in, and he lost. He declined very rapidly, but I think he's looking at Doug Martin, the rookie version leaving Boise State. Sort of that's how Brandt does it, and he doesn't look at the guy as a six-year veteran. He looks at him as, okay. I remember when he came out. But, I mean, hey, if we get the rookie Doug Martin here, that's a Pro Bowler who would be fantastic. So, hopefully we don't get the 2.9 yards of carry Doug Martin.
Lee, you've got about 19 hours, Lee, to talk Sean Sullivan off the ledge because because Clyde Helaire Edwards will not be a Buccaneer.
Yeah.
You got work to do.
All right, Ira. So we will close with this, and we thank Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com is where to start shopping. Big Storm Beer, load up today. 2 more days of the draft. BigStormBrewery.com. You can order online. They'll deliver. You can pick it up and find it around town.
Odessa is actually selling hand sanitizer now. It was only at their home base in Clearwater. But now Odessa's selling our hand sanitizer. So, Ira, you know where to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they'll mail it right out to you as well. They're just not even charging like some big extra shipping fee. You know, if you live in Bradenton and you're listening to the podcast, you want medical-grade hand sanitizer, they'll send it to you 2-day mail, no problem. So,
beautiful.
Sage, last thing, what's the grade for the Bucs, round one, on the performance of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, round one of the NFL draft?
B plus because they got one of the four tackles. B plus. We'll never know. Like Lee said, maybe, you know, might take 3 years to find out where they had worse graded compared to the other three guys. But B plus because they did what they needed to do, and they didn't give up a second or a third round pick. And I can live with that if this is as good a prospect as they think he is.
All right, Eric, get to bed, change your underwear, get in the shower, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, boys.